A person who examines any corner of the universe, from the giant galaxies in space to the living beings in nature, and from his own body to invisible cells, sees a flawless plan incorporating both order and design. Every spot of the universe overflows with a precise and explicit fact, the fact of creation. The miracle in the ear. Right now, as you are listening to this program, a miracle is taking place, which you have probably never noticed so far. Some vibrations emitted by your radio are producing some waves in the air, filling the room you are in or the car you are driving. These vibrations in the air are entering your ear at a speed of 350 kilometers, that is 220 miles per second. These vibrations, which had been mere physical motions until now, are being transformed into sound by incredibly complex operations taking place in your ear. Surprisingly, all these operations occur in less than 1/1000th of a second. Thanks to this system, you hear millions of different sounds, like the conversation and the music you are listening to right now. You can hear thousands of different human voices or music and distinguish sounds from one another. Moreover, you listen to them without the interference of any hissing, humming, or rustling sounds, with a perfect quality, much better than the world's highest quality hi-fi system. So how is all this accomplished? What kind of structure do the sense of hearing and the ear have? Over and above this, to whom are we indebted for this great miracle of hearing? A scientific analysis of these questions leads us to conclude the following. The ear, the organ associated with hearing, is a marvel of biological design. It is a matchless device built through the astounding collaboration of many sciences, including acoustics, mechanics, hydraulics, and electronics. It is certainly impossible that such a marvel of design could have been formed by coincidence, as the theory of evolution claims. Therefore, the ear is a crystal clear sign of creation, God's superior and flawless creation. Before examining the structure of the ear, some consideration of the concept of sound will be helpful. Most of us assume that there exists some sounds in the external world and that we perceive them through our ears. Out in the street, we assume that there are the noises of cars and human beings and that we hear them. The truth, however, is different. No such sounds exist outside. Absolute silence pervades the world. There are only vibrations outside. These vibrations are converted into sounds by the ear and the brain. So long as there is no ear to hear, there is also no sound. For this reason, if living beings had no sense of hearing, the concept of sound would not exist. It would never occur to anyone that vibrations in the air corresponded to sounds. Everyone would live and die in deep silence. Yet, thanks to the sense of hearing given to us, we live in a world where we can hear thousands of sounds, take pleasure from them, and communicate with one another. As stated earlier, the process of hearing starts with the vibrations in the air. These vibrations are intensified by the auricle and then directed into the ear canal leading down to the eardrum. In order for hearing to take place, the vibrations must be magnified in thought, going through numerous stages in the eardrum and then converted into electrical signals. The first component of this system is the auricle, the function of which is unknown to most people. From the viewpoint of the primitive level of science in the 19th century, Charles Darwin defined the auricle as a non-functional organ which had become vestigial in the evolutionary process. However, more recent research revealed that the auricle has a very important function, namely, collecting and directing vibrations. The irregularly shaped internal plate of cartilage in the auricle also serves a purpose. Research revealed that the irregular shapes are organized in the most appropriate way to produce the best acoustic effect. A part of the auricle, called the concha, serves as a kind of megaphone and concentrates the sound waves in the outer ear canal. This way, the intensity of the sound waves is amplified by approximately 17 decibels. Thus, the intensified sound enters the outer ear canal. The outer ear canal is the section between the auricle and the eardrum. The ear canal, which is about 3.5 centimeters long, also performs very important functions. Thanks to the special structure of the outer ear canal, the sound waves passing through it are intensified. A comparison between the diffusion of sound waves in the atmosphere and the outer ear indicated that the sound is magnified in force in adult humans. This amplification is especially true for frequencies of from 1,000 to 8,000 waves a second. Surprisingly, this is the frequency range corresponding to the human voice. In other words, our ear is equipped with a special structure that makes human voices louder than other sounds. In another interesting trait of the outer ear canal is the regularly secreted, thick, waxy product called earwax. This secretion contains a kind of a poison that keeps bacteria and insects away from the ear. However, one should also consider the risks in having such a secretion here. This secretion may at any time fill the ear and render it useless. Yet, a very special precaution is taken against this possibility. The cells on the surface of the outer ear are lined up in an outward spiral. Thus, the earwax always leaks towards the outside. Channeled down the ear canal, vibrations end in the eardrum. This membrane is stretched across the entrance to the middle ear. The middle ear consists of three small bones. The eardrum and these three small bones convert the sound in the form of air vibrations into mechanical vibrations. The middle ear, which is followed by the inner ear, a fluid-filled section, has a mechanical system amplifying the sound which enters a liquid environment from the air. The eardrum, which is the initial section of the middle ear, is so sensitive that it even perceives vibrations of molecular size. This sensitivity of the eardrum enables you to hear someone whispering yards away in almost complete silence. Likewise, you can hear the vibration produced when you gently rub your two fingers together. There is another amazing feature of this membrane. After it receives a vibration, it instantly turns back to its initial position. Calculations have indicated that the eardrum is restored to its previous motionless state in 4/1000th of a second, even after receiving vibrations the membrane is most sensitive to. If the membrane did not accomplish this operation so fast, then every sound we hear would echo in our ears. Yet, at this point, a serious problem arises. The eardrum, so sensitive even to the slightest vibrations, is also subjected to the strong vibrations caused by the blood pressure of the veins nourishing it. The sound vibrations produced by blood cells moving in the capillaries that nourish the eardrum can be likened to the sound vibrations caused by rocks rolling in a tunnel. Surprisingly, however, we never hear this sound. How does this happen? An amazing system established in the human body accomplishes this. The static sound of the blood vessels perceived by the eardrum are sorted by the nervous system from the sounds coming from outside. Just like advanced computers eliminating the static and rustling sounds from a sound recording, the nervous system eliminates the vibrations blood vessels cause in the eardrum. This way, throughout our lives, we never hear the sounds caused by the pressure of our blood vessels. Similarly, the jaw and teeth produce giant vibrations on the eardrum when we chew. However, the nervous system also sorts out this sound from others and eliminate. The eardrum intensifies the vibrations it receives and channels them down to three little bones, which make contact with one another in a very delicate balance. These three bones, known as the hammer, anvil, and stirrup, further amplify these vibrations. The middle ear also produces a buffer effect by lowering extremely loud sounds. This is performed by the two smallest muscles in the body, which control the hammer, anvil, and stirrup. These muscles ensure that extremely loud sounds are reduced before being transmitted to the inner ear. It is thanks to these muscles that we hear shockingly high volumes at more moderate levels. We have no control over these muscles. They swing into action automatically. Even if a startlingly loud noise is made beside us when we are asleep, these muscles immediately contract and decrease the intensity of the vibration transmitted to the inner ear. In the absence of such a mechanism, strong sounds could easily harm the inner ear and impair our sense of hearing. Yet, thanks to marvelous planning, the ear is equipped with a mechanism enabling man to hear very low sounds as well as protecting him from extremely high ones. This mechanism never goes wrong. Not even once does it lower those sounds which should be intensified or intensify those which should be lowered. The middle ear, which has such a perfect design, needs to maintain an important balance. The pressure in the middle ear and the pressure on the other side of the eardrum, namely atmospheric pressure, should be equal. This balance was not overlooked either, and a ventilating channel secures the movement of air between the middle ear and the outside world. This channel is an empty tube extending from the middle ear to the mouth, called the Eustachian tube. There is no doubt that all these are evident signs of an incredibly delicate and well-calculated design in the human ear. In other words, the ear is the work of God, who is the possessor of infinite knowledge and power. The theory of evolution, which struggles to deny this fact, can do nothing other than produce entirely implausible scenarios. For instance, the scenario evolutionists put forward regarding the origin of the ear is incredibly absurd. Evolutionists claim that all mammals, including man, evolved from reptiles. However, the ear structures of reptiles and mammals differ greatly. All mammals have a middle ear structure consisting of the three small bones, as we explained earlier. However, in the middle ear of all reptiles, there is only one single bone. In the face of this, evolutionists claim that four different individual bones in the jaws of reptiles coincidentally changed places and migrated to the middle ear. Here, they coincidentally took just the right shape, changing into the anvil and the stirrup. The same scenario also suggests that the single bone in the middle ear of reptiles also changed shape and changed into the hammer. And last but not least, the extremely delicate balance among the three bones was simply established by chance. This imaginary claim, devoid of any scientific basis, is as nonsensical as saying that the screws of the four wheels of a car migrated by chance to the engine and changed their individual shapes and functions, eventually becoming the engine's spark plugs. There is another point which shows the absurdity of the jawbones migrating to the middle ear scenario. Such an imaginary transformation would make a living being completely lose its sense of hearing. A living thing whose jawbones were gradually moving to its middle ear would definitely lose the power of hearing. Such a living thing, according to the precepts of evolutionists, would be at a disadvantage among other members of its species and would be eliminated and become extinct. A living being whose jawbones were moving to its ears would again end up with a non-functioning jaw. Such a living thing would have poor chewing ability and would eventually lose that ability completely. This would again put it at a disadvantage and lead to its extinction. In brief, the theory of evolution, which claims that living things came into existence by chance, is obviously hopeless in the face of the superior creation in the ear. Another stumbling block that makes evolutionists desperate is that living beings, considered primitive by evolutionists, possess more complex ear structures than those species that are considered advanced. Evolutionists claim that amphibians, which can survive both on land and in water, such as frogs, evolved into reptiles over time. According to this claim, amphibians are the ancestors of reptiles and are supposed to be more primitive than reptiles. An examination of the structure of amphibian ears, however, reveals that amphibians have a more complex ear structure than reptiles. Amphibians have an eardrum and middle ear cavity, while reptiles just have one single bone. This fact plainly invalidates the scenario suggesting progress from primitive towards complex structures. In brief, a mere examination of the structure of the ear and its origins invalidates the theory of evolution. The Grolier Encyclopedia, known as an evolutionist source, confesses this, saying that the evolutionary origin of the inner ear is unknown.